When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, all that good stuff. And remember to subscribe to the Miami Herald so you can get your latest news on South Florida news and whatnot. We are back from the bye week. We are back from the bye week. Dolphins had the week off as they kind of lick their wounds, rest, recuperate, self-evaluate, and get ready for the stretch run. They entered the bye week atop the AFC East, leading their division, and they returned from the bye week leading their division. It was kind of an interesting slate with the Dolphins off. You know, got to kind of sit back, watch some of the various teams on the NFL. Really, the AFC teams and some of the AFC East teams. Obviously, you have the Patriots and the Jets who play. Oof, yeah, that was an eyesore.
Don't do it, man.
Come on, man. Yeah, the Patriots. The Patriots pulled off that last second victory with that punt return, 10-3 victory. In Foxborough, and then you had the Bills, who, I mean, I didn't even know if they were going to play that game, you know, with the snowstorm in Orchard Park or in Buffalo, but they were able to move the game to Detroit. They got there. They played the Browns, where they came away with a victory as well. But because the Patriots beat the Jets and the Dolphins have the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Buffalo Bills, they still have the top spot in the AFC East right now. Obviously, there's a really big matchup in Buffalo coming up in a couple weeks, and for all we know, that could very well decide the division. But I want to kind of take a step back. Obviously, we don't have a ton of Dolphin-centric stuff to talk about ahead of their game against the Texans. But I kind of want to look at the landscape of the AFC, where the Dolphins, like I said, they're atop the AFC East. They're number two in the division. In the conference. There is potential for the Dolphins to move up into the number one spot and, you know, jump over the Kansas City Chiefs for the number one seed. But the Chiefs were able to manufacture that. You know, Mahomes was Mahomes. That's all I can say. he did what he does, and they came away with a big win in Inglewood against the Los Angeles Chargers. So for now, that keeps the Dolphins as number two seed, but not a bad spot to be at all with 8 weeks left. It's kind of interesting weekend for the NFL slate. I left myself kind of looking at the division first and saying the Jets and Patriots just didn't really move me at all. I mean, the defenses, yeah, they
didn't move anything at all.
Oh, yeah, they didn't move anything.
They moved you. They didn't move the ball. Didn't move.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I mean, obviously, those are two really, really solid defenses, very good defenses. And the Dolphins have to, you know, have rematches with those teams as well. So that's something to watch out for. But on offense, I mean, you talk about eyesores and just kind of limited quarterbacks right now. I mean, that's what both of them have. And I know that the record suggests that, hey, every team in the AFC East is above 500, but I still think that there's definitely, a clear distance between the Dolphins and the Bills, or the Bills and the Dolphins, however you want to put it, and then the Patriots and the Jets. And I think that as the weeks go by and as we kind of go into this stretch run, you'll start to see that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to separate themselves, you know, 3-4 games, but when we see some of those rematches, especially with the team like the Patriots, where they just don't really, and even the Jets with Zach Wilson and everything that they've got going on over there, and just him not even being able to complete passes to his guys, and just the, you know, not taking accountability and everything that's going on with there. I mean, I think you're definitely going to see an improved version of the Dolphins that really shows. I mean, they beat the Patriots 20-7, in week one. And obviously the New England Patriots defense has been a lot better since then. But you know, we've seen this Dolphins offense take it to another level. So, I mean, I think that, you know, all three of those rematches are going to be very, very important. I mean, that's probably going to decide whether the Dolphins win the division and, you know, whether they can potentially buy for that number one seed. But there's definitely levels to it. I mean, it's the Bills and the Dolphins, or the Dolphins and the Bills, however you want to stack them right now. And really outside of the Bills, I mean, the only other AFC team that, you know, if I'm a Dolphins fan that I like and really worried about is the Kansas City Chiefs. Just because, I mean, and it's really just because of Mahomes. Just, I mean, you know, all the questions about Tyreek Hill being gone. He had, you know, a couple guys out of the lineup in terms of his pass catchers. I mean, he didn't skip a beat. I mean, he was just doing what he does. And as well as Tua has been playing, I mean, Mahomes is the MVP right now. So again, I mean, it wasn't a week that really, you know, changed my viewpoint at all or much about the AFC landscape. I think that there are three legitimate, like, contending teams. You know, as much as, you know, I put Baltimore as my Super Bowl winner before the season, the offense just isn't where the offense isn't going to take you very far. You know, if it's looking like the way it did, only putting 13 points up against the Panthers. Right now, I think there's three, like, clear contenders in the AFC. And that's the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, are the Dolphins really ready for, are they ready to be contenders? I think that, again, we'll find that out for real when they have that rematch in Orchard Park. But I mean, I think the Dolphins match up well with just about any team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, that it certainly looks like, and as we've said before, this is not a, overall in the NFL, not a great NFL league right now, not a season of great teams. And the AFC in particular, I mean, I think it's Kansas City does what Kansas City does, and they're right now the number one seed, and to me, they're the team that just kind of felt this way the whole season. I mean, you could tell if you've been watching this podcast. They're a team that has that ability and knows they have the ability to do whatever it takes to win the game. And they never have, there's never the feeling that in the stadium, on either sideline.
There was not a doubt that they were going to win that game against the Chargers last night.
Right.
There was no doubt. It's just a matter of when Mahomes got the ball, how much time he had left.
A homeboy? My man threw the remote at his TV set, and I'm like, you must be new here. When the Chargers scored like a minute left, he threw the remote at his TV set, broke his TV. Did we win? I'm like, what are you doing? Watching the game win. Oh no, they done messed up. They left way too much time. You know, you might as well be on the sidelines figuring out what you're going to do after Mahomes drives into a touchdown. But there's always that sense that even against the Titans, they didn't have much going on offensively, but they okay, you're not getting the stuff downfield. They're taking Kelce away. Oh, okay, so Mahomes, you're not running the ball. Well, Mahomes scrambles, like, has three big chunk scrambles and then puts you in a position and you know, they score. And they've done this now for a few years. So, you know, this is kind of year, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, year five of this. So I always feel like I really feel like they're the kind of defending champs. They're the ones you got to knock off.
Yeah. Somebody called the AFC conference game, the championship, the Kansas City Chiefs Invitational. It's like who's gonna be there to play the Chiefs, right, and potentially, right, knock them off.
That's the feeling you get watching them, that they're gonna do, they're off, especially offensively, they're gonna do what they need to do to win. Buffalo, they're very, I mean,
they seem like they're kind of erratic. Yeah, and they seem like they're kind of in a lull too. Because again, I said it before the season, I thought they're a little bit overrated relative to like the rest of the AFC teams. And obviously Josh Allen has the elbow issue. I don't know how serious that is, but he's still playing. But it does seem like they've kind of hit a lull, and he's like being asked to do so much that it's starting to backfire on that team. And we even saw it in the Dolphins game in week three, right, where he literally had to do everything in terms of scrambling, throwing the ball. And then, you know, when you ask so much of one player, I mean, you're prone to make mistakes, and, you know,
that physically and mentally wears you down. Yeah. You have to do that week after week after week. And they're, you know, they were having some easier games early in the season. You know, the Browns game probably should have been a cakewalk. You think?
Yeah, I mean, they got some distance in the second half, but it was fairly close.
Yeah, and so they're having to work a little harder than maybe they
should
want to. And again, if you're Josh Allen, you know, and it's all on you. And it's similar to Kansas City with Mahomes, but Mahomes just handles it better.
And I mean, to that point, there were times last season, even when they had Tyreek Hill, where defenses were playing them a little bit different, and Mahomes was a little bit erratic. I mean, he was making some mistakes, and he wasn't his normal self. But you do have to take the pressure off. I mean, you can't ask your quarterback. Your quarterback has to, he does sometimes have to be Superman, but he can't be Superman like 95% of the time. He can't, right. Like, you want him to do that in the last 2 minutes of the game, but not the entire, you know.
Yeah. So he needs some Clark Kent time. He needs some Fortress of Solitude time. He needs some, you know, handoff, let the rest of the Justice League handle this, you know. And so I don't see that happening in Buffalo. That's so, they're kind of on shaky ground now. I don't know. And they might, you know, this all might blow over. But Thursday's going to be interesting. The Lions are playing pretty well. Yeah. And I thought found that kind of funny that they had to move a game from Ralph Wilson Stadium. Well, Ralph Wilson's a Detroit guy. A Detroit guy. And he used to fly into Buffalo for the games from the time they started in the AFL. And so now here they were having to relocate this Buffalo game to Detroit because they had snow a Josh Allen high, you know. And then obviously the Jets and the Patriots just. Those were two good defenses and two bad offenses, yeah, and two overmatched offenses. While there is a lot being made of the Zach Wilson press conference, you know, there's a possibility that maybe too much is being made of that. Boy, that's really easy. I agree with Ryan Clark what he said on ESPN. That's a layup for you in a post-game press conference. And easy, yeah, you know, we did let the defense down. We scored 3 points. You know, they allowed 3 points. We should have scored more than three. Yeah, okay, special teams gave up a punt return touchdown. Big deal. We should be able to score more than 10 points in a game. And, you know, he's sitting there overthrowing guys on checkdowns. And, you know, they're literally putting the ball in his hands. That right before the punt, it was a third and one. And third and one passes drive me crazy anyway. You know, if you got a timeout left, just run the ball, get the first down. You know, it just drives me. Those things drive me crazy anyway, because there's way too much can go wrong. But the way he handled that says, and the coach's public statement that, he's been lukewarm on backing. He was strong on backing him after the game, but then like 2 days later, he's like, we got to think about things.
Yeah.
Says there's turmoil there. There's jet level turmoil there that usually accompanies with the record reversed. Right. Okay. You know, and what are they now? They're 6-4.
Yeah.
6-4. Yeah. Usually accompanies the Jets at like 4-6. If that, more like 3-7, 2-8. So right now in the AFC, I think the overall standings are pretty accurate. I think that you get the Chiefs number one, and here's the Dolphins. They're the number two seed. They look the second best team out there. Let's see how this plays out. The Dolphins should, again, should have, to use a word from our ancestors' past, that has roots in our ancestors' past, they should have a cakewalk against Houston. And, let's see. And that's one of the things you should do if you are a good team. One thing good teams do, and people downplay that, oh, you're beating up on bad teams. Well, yeah, that's what good teams do. And good teams do that with regularity. You know, you beat lousy teams, and you don't let lousy teams surprise you or, mess with your mojo. So, yeah, that's the way it looks to me. And if you're a contender in the AFC, then you're a contender in the NFL, because I think we've seen over the last couple of weeks, there's no great teams in this league. I mean, look at the Eagles. Look at the last 2 weeks of Eagles games.
Not even shaky.
Really? The Giants just got dogged by the Lions. They had the great record. And then the Vikings just got
Yeah, that was so bad. You know what's bad when CBS or the network has to switch games? Like you know,
when they switch away from Dallas, they never switch away from Dallas. They never switch away from Dallas. You know, when in doubt, give them Dallas. That's been the network's philosophy for literally for 50, almost 50 years.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we can't keep fussing. Voicing this on people. That's whatever else is in the afternoon. Let's show them that. So in Dallas themselves, they look really good, but they're pretty erratic. So actually the best team over there on the other side of the NFL
might be the 49ers.
San Francisco.
Yep. That's going to be an interesting game in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah. They got a defense.
They can run the ball.
They got an offense. They got defense. They got an offense. They've got a reliable defense. It was reliable until, you know, except for that week where, you know, Kansas City carved him up like a turkey and served him up with stuffing. But which goes to my point about Kansas City. They're generally going to do whatever they need to do. And yeah, that's going to be an interesting game also to see where the Dolphins are. And I think that game and the Chargers game are going to – I think they're going, it's going to say that, depending on who's back for the Chargers, because the Chargers, they always seem to be – they always figure out a way to be less than they should be, it seems like.
Yeah, they, I know they got two of their receivers back, and then Mike Williams, after a couple of plays, he was, you know, right, kind of aggravated that ankle injury. So yeah, I mean, with the Chargers, kind of always, it's always, you know, how healthy are they? But yeah, I mean, the general point, you know, leaving the bye week for the Dolphins is definitely they're in a good spot. You know, they've got some things to improve on, but they're definitely in a good spot. And we'll see. You know, we're a week away. You know, we'll talk about this Texans game soon. But you know, they're a week away from, you know, this December slate really, really picking up and getting a sense for how good this team is. So it's gonna be a fun stretch run. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the side of things, we are going to talk about – the Dolphins don't have a bye. Just the Dolphins don't have a bye. We're going to discuss that. They don't have another bye.
It's as close as you can get, though. You can get that now.
We're going to discuss this game coming up with the Texans, so stay locked with us. All right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins and Duck podcast with Dave and Neil talking all things Dolphins. All right, so the Dolphins are back from their bye week, and they're going to kick off really the second half of their schedule, the stretch run with the home game against the lowly Houston Texans. Houston 1-8-1. Not much more to be said other than besides that, they're just, you know, just looking at the stats, there isn't much that Houston does well. And I feel like they're kind of reaching the breaking point if they have already. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but there's some clips after Houston's loss to the Commanders where they were, you know, Lovie Smith, the head coach, was getting pressed. Why is the team not good? Why haven't you made any adjustments, any changes? And post-game press conference was kind of testy. So it's been a rough go for Houston. I think that we all knew that they were going to be bad, but maybe not this bad. Really, the way I see this game is kind of the way you said earlier. If you're a good team, if you are a very good team, if you are potentially a great team, this is one of those games where you put your foot on the neck of the team and you know don't let up and you get out of here, real unscathed and pretty easily. I think this is another game where, so I mean I didn't expect the Browns game to develop the way it did, but I did think it was a matchup that favored the Dolphins very well. I think this is another matchup that favors the Dolphins really well. Houston has the worst rush defense in the NFL. They're allowing, let me make sure I get this right, 178.9 rushing yards per game and 5.1 yards per attempt, which ranks fourth worst.
Who are they? They played. Did they play the 72 Dolphins?
What? I don't know, but they might make. They might make the 2022 Lamar Jackson.
What is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's bad. They aren't good at much. They don't. Well, I'll say they run the ball fairly well. They got a nice rookie there, Dameon Pierce.
Yeah.
Who runs hard. But again, I mean, this Dolphins defense, as we said last week or the week prior to that, this is a Dolphins defense that they haven't been great. But one thing that they've been good at is stopping the run and stopping running back specifically. I mean, they held Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb to, I believe, 72 yards. Outside of that 33-yard or 30-yard touchdown run by Nick Chubb, they didn't really get a lot of traction there. And that was the game where they were able to jump on them, you know, kind of get in the third quarter, get up a couple scores. The pass rush started to kind of, you know, come alive because you get into obvious passing situations. And I think it's going to be more of that. I mean, I'm not going to say 39-17 or whatever it was, but I think that, you know, I mean, the spread is 13 at this point. I mean, it's 13 for a reason. I think that speaks to as much of how bad the Texans are as it speaks to as how good the Dolphins are. I don't know if I'm going to go that far and say that they win by like two scores. I mean, they very well could. But it's hard to blow teams out. I mean, it is. But you know, it's Thanksgiving too. You never know. Maybe a bye week. Maybe they come out a little rusty. I think this is a game where the Dolphins have their way. The Dolphins defense has its way. I think that they probably win by, you know, 10, 12 points, maybe like a 27-14 type game. But yeah, I mean, again, this is the type of game where you gotta take care of business and then on to the next one. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, best case scenario is like you come out of this game, like you give them a knockout punch by halftime. You can get some of your guys out, make sure get out healthy, and then you start looking on to the next. You don't want to look ahead, but you start to prepare mentally for that December slate, which we said, you know, begins with, you know, three straight road games, 49ers, Chargers, Bills, and then Christmas Day hosting the Packers. But again, this is a game where I expect and I think the Dolphins will have their way early and often and, you know, kind of move on to the more important games.
I don't see this matchup at there's no reason to not predict a blowout. I mean, that when you see that kind of spread,
we picked some blowouts. Hold on, we picked some blowouts earlier in the season, and then they came back and it was a lot closer than we thought. So I'm just,
yeah, I know. You have fear, but
I'm not trying to be arrogant.
But the people who make their living, you know, who are putting their money where their mouth is, or you know, kind of guiding everybody else to put their money where their mouth is, are saying Dolphins by 13. And they want money on both sides. So you know what they're really thinking is Dolphins by like 18 or 20. And there's, you know, yeah, they've got, you know, they've got, I think they got one good wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. They've got
Laremy Tunsil. They've got an old friend, Laremy Tunsil.
I like the running back. I do like the young running back. But then again, like you said, the Dolphins sat on Nick Chubb and Kareem, and there's basically one run out of that. You know, they ran for 72 yards, and 33 of them came on one run. You know, so it doesn't say that. I don't think Houston's going to be able to get much going in the running game to take some of the heat off of Davis Mills, who, I don't know, I have not been impressed with him at all as a quarterback from the times I've seen him this season. Not that I've seen a whole heck of a lot of Houston Texans football this season, other than the highlights. I have watched, you know, the entire games when they were on Thursday night, or, you know, on some of those other games where they were basically the opponent. And, you know, bless Lovie Smith's heart for, you know, getting another job in the NFL. But
it's not looking good.
I was kind of like, why? Aren't we, you know, we talk about, it's great that they're like now recycling, you know, Black coaches now, like they recycle some white coaches who, you know, were clearly kind of through the cycle.
But we definitely, I mean, that was in the midst of a lot of the Brian Flores lawsuit, and I think that was kind of there were some reports that they were going to hire Josh McCown, and I think that the Brian Flores lawsuit, they were kind of like,
let's
Bobby was already, you know, on the staff.
So yeah, I'm sure they got a phone call too. Hey, you know, why don't you help us out here? Why don't you help us out here? Because we're not looking good. We're not looking good on this. So, you know, let's, you know, hire Uncle Lovey, who I think had, you know, he'd run his course in Chicago. He'd run his course very quickly in Tampa, ran his course quickly at the University of Illinois. So, you know, I'm kind of like, why? There's nothing. So, you know, aside from the coaching, you know, on the field, there is nothing this team should be bringing that the Dolphins should not quickly slap down and, you know, take care of business with. You are at home. You know, it's going to be post bye week. So you post Thanksgiving, but, you know, you think Houston wants to be here? You know, they're 1-8-1. They're 1-8-1 after Thanksgiving.
They got the combo trips already booked, bro.
The U-Hauls are rented. They're already talking about the offseason. And, you know, this is a time to go in, take care of business. And, yeah, you're right. This might be a slow start, but this should be a slow start to it might be a slow first quarter, but it should be a very fluid second and third quarter. And frankly, if you're playing too far into the fourth quarter, you have not done your job.
Yeah.
And so I know it's the NFL and everything, and, you know, yeah, things can happen, but no, I'm 38-14. I'm thinking there's a defensive touchdown in there too.
You're calling the shot. You're calling
the
shot.
I just don't think there's anything they do well, and there's nothing they do that should bother the Dolphins. And so, yeah, you know, you take care of business like a good team should, and move on. We'll see, you know, if you're the Dolphins, we'll see, you know, then we're going to see how good you are when you go to San Francisco.
Yeah, not for sure. So we're both rolling with the Dolphins this weekend. You a little more bullish on a blowout. not going there. But I do think we both think that they're going to have their way against the Texans. One last thing before we get out of here. I wanted to bring this up. Zach Thomas, Dolphins great for 12 years down in Miami. He was named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. The fifth consecutive year he has been named a semifinalist. He's one of, I believe, 15 modern era finalists. Last year he advanced to the 15 person modern era final ballot before falling short. He's been on the ballot for a decade now. I know this has been a hot button topic in South Florida. A lot of people saying get Zach to the Hall, a lot of kind of grassroots campaigns to bring light to his career and kind of explain why he should be in the Hall of Fame. So again, he's one of 28 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. This was came out Tuesday. It's the fifth consecutive year he's been named a semifinalist. And again, he was named to the 15-person modern era list last year, which is then whittled down to 10, 5. And then from there, the committee votes, and you have to get 80% of the vote to be, you know, enshrined. Zach did not make it from the 15-person finalist list to, you know, the list that was voted in, the names that were voted in. David is someone who I believe covered Zach Thomas, who's watched him in his prime. I wanted to kind of give you the floor to explain, you know, Zach's career, why maybe he hasn't gotten that top honor recognition, and just kind of, you know, and compared to some of his other contemporaries, because numbers wise, I mean, he's right up there. I mean, I can rattle off right now. I mean, 1,700 total tackles, 20.5 sacks, 17 interceptions, a member of the NFL's all-decade team for the 2000s, seven-time first team or second team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowl. The numbers are there, especially when you compare to some of you know, his contemporaries at the linebacker position, the inside linebacker position in the 2000s. But obviously, he has not gotten that same recognition in terms of the Hall of Fame. So the floor is yours to kind of give your thoughts on that.
Well, I think one of the things that works against Zach, and Jason Taylor had to overcome this too, I think, is that there seems to be more of a prejudice these days for players, you know, against players from teams that, you know, maybe underachieved or didn't achieve at a very, very, at a championship level. Well, one time we understood that a player could be even the best in the league at his position. And, you know, the team might not be very good. because football is, it drives me crazy how we, you know, people love to talk about how, you know, what a team game football is. And it is. It's an incredible team game. Everybody's got to do their job. But then when we start breaking things down individually, you hear people go, well, how many playoff games did he win? How many championships did he win? Wait a minute. Hold on. That's a team accomplishment. If you listen to the players who played against him, mm-hmm. especially the top two quarterbacks of the day, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah, last year on the Manning cast, I mean,
right.
Those Dolphins teams with
the 2000s, and
he gave me fits.
They did. They gave Brady all kinds of fits. Even the games the Patriots won, you know, they didn't look good. It was always the offense that let down the Dolphins defense, and people would say later, oh, Brady did what he could to, you know, just did what he needed to do to win the game. And Brady later admitting, no, I'm not having a good game. These guys are stopping me. Manning used to have these great battles with Zach because they were both these encyclopedic, minds and, you know, coordinators on the field. And he had some tough games against the Dolphins. And those two guys, ask those two guys, I'm quite sure they would vote him into, they would say he was one of the three or four, two, maybe two or three best inside linebackers of his era.
Yeah, I mean,
and
Ray Lewis, if, Brian Urlacher, and then
and McDonald's right, and you know, and so and I remember the guy I grew up reading for the guy who's my role model when I was very young, Paul Zimmerman of Sports Illustrated, who covered the NFL and the AFL way back when, and then the NFL for the New York Post, then for Sports Illustrated. I've always, when I was a kid, I read him. I always loved, okay, I want to write about sports as knowledgeably as he writes about the NFL. Yeah, there was always, even as a kid, you could tell there was a depth of to his, the way he wrote and to his knowledge of the game. And that was missing from a lot of other writers that probably would be standard today, but it was missing from a lot of other writers back then. And then, he wrote, you know, lengthy strategic books on, you know, pro football, Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football, blah, 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 blah. He and I talked a lot in the last few years before he suffered a stroke, which ended his career. But I remember he was a huge Zach Thomas fan. And he said this, he thought he was like one of the finest run defenders as a linebacker, that, you know, and he said he reminded him of Joe Schmidt, who was a great, you know, we're going way back to when the Detroit Lions were actually good. And the Detroit Lions actually usually had the best defense in the league. And Joe Schmidt was the middle linebacker in that defense. He said he's like, he reminds me of Schmidt as a great run defender. Big Zach Thomas fan. I think he deserves it. I just think he deserves it. On if you watched the NFL week in, week out during that era, and if you talk to people who played week in, week out and had to deal with them a couple times a year during that era, I think their endorsement kind of what should say, hey, you know, give this guy his due. Because the Dolphins did have, there were years they had a really, really good defense. And it was one of those deals where the defense could never quite make up for the offense. And when things got a little more serious, and I think also hurting Zach was, you know, he was on those Dolphins teams. And Jason Taylor too, and Jason Taylor's in the Hall, so like it's not completely this, but it sure as heck doesn't help that you're on the other, being on the other end of some real, real bad playoff losses. 38-3, 62-7, 27-0, you know, 20-3. And that was when they got to the playoffs, you know. And then they had the years where, the last few years of his career, where they weren't making the playoffs and they were usually out of it pretty early. I think that hurt. Having, you know, when you're kind of attached to that. But again, we used to understand you can have a great player at a great position, but if, you know, if everything around you is crumbling, and everything around you is just, you know, you're going to be the diamond, you know, diamond in the toilet. And I can think everybody who dealt with him, like I said, on a week to week basis or a few times a year, or had to watch film and saw him on film every week for your film study, because you're looking, even if you're looking at the other team, would say, that, you know, that guy's one of the, you know, he is one of the best, one of the two or three best inside linebackers in the league right now for an extended period of time. And I think he should get his due. He deserves to be in the Hall. And that's just it. And it's not, you know, that's just, I, it's, you know, I don't, I just, it's one of those that kind of confounds me in a way. I'm just like, you know, everybody knew at the time too. People, I mean, and so I think in, I think the way the Hall of Fame, I think the Hall of Fame selectors, you know, I don't want to disparage them. I think they work hard to do their job, but they also have a tough job of, you know, the limit on the number of players per year.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of different, you've got all these different positions coming in and a lot of different guys coming in, is, you know, and then it's really hard to say, okay, is this linebacker more worthy than that wide receiver?
Yeah, this offensive line,
this tackle, guard, like, right, worthy than this nose, you know, and you're just like, and then of course you're, when you've got the automatics coming in,
even if they're a first time on the ballot, I mean, if their resume says, yeah, they're first ballot, then you got to put them in.
They're the guys who, Edwin Pope used to say, all you have to do is literally go in the meeting, just say their name.
Say their name and sit down.
You know, he didn't have to do much for presentation. Dan Marino.
There we go.
Okay. next. Right. You got those guys coming in, and that, you know, it's like one less spot for the guys who you have to make a case for, or you have to remind people that maybe didn't see him as much. You know, if you covered an NFC team, you didn't get to see
him. Yeah.
You saw him once every few years, maybe. You know, depending on how much football you watched outside of the team you were covering, you know, it's, you know, he maybe didn't see him a lot, and maybe you do need to have, you know, kind of, is he really that good? You heard the name a lot, and but so I don't know if how much that comes into play, because yeah, they were I mean, they last made the playoffs while he was playing in 2001.
Yeah,
and so from 2002 to 2007,
that's like a good half of his,
you know, his career, right? They weren't in the playoffs. By the end, they weren't getting on Monday Night Football, they weren't getting on Sunday Night Football, they were playing at 1 o'clock, you know, they were, you know, and when they were, you know, when putting those primetime games, a lot of times it just didn't go well. And that, you know, sometimes they just got flat embarrassed. And so that might, you know, that can be, if you don't see a guy that often, that can sometimes be your lasting image of him. Thinking of a 2004 Monday night game, they played the Jets. The Jets had 200-yard rushers in the game. And they, you know, beat the Dolphins by almost 30. Well, if you don't see Zach Thomas every week, that doesn't leave a real good impression of him. That's just kind of how I feel about it, how I see it. Like I said, I defer to people who, I think know more about the game than I do. And, I think when the two best quarterbacks of the era speak so highly of him, and, you know, two best quarterbacks, you know, of this era and among the, you know, one, you know, maybe the best ever, speaks so highly of them, I think you got to take that into account. So hope he gets in.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, but like you said, when you have your contemporaries and some of, you know, future Hall of Famers, you know, when you have your contemporaries speaking so highly of you as well, I feel like that definitely should hold a lot of weight. So we'll see. I mean, it's been a long wait. You know, I know, you know, earlier this year when he didn't make the class of 2022, he spoke to, you know, our own Greg Cody, and he said, you know, don't feel bad for me. The game was great to me, and, you know, I'm grateful for it. But it would be great for him to get that honor. So yeah. We'll see how that shakes out, you know, in the coming weeks and months. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. Reminder again to subscribe to Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, subscribe to the Miami Herald. We'll be back next week to recap another weekend of Dolphins football as they take on the Houston Texans. But until then, you guys take care. See you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Eat well.